this happened a long time ago. I'm guessing back in 2006, and I can't have been any older than 4 years old at the time. Yet, I vividly remember the fear I felt during this encounter. It was an early summer morning, and the sun was up, but few people were out. In fact, the streets were practically dead that morning. My mum decided to take my sister, only 1 year old at the time, seated in a stroller, and I, to throw away some garbage at the garbage station. I might add that the garbage station is kind of secluded from nearby houses, bordering one of those deep, dark forests of eastern Sweden. Since I was only 4 years old when this happened, the memory of the incident has faded a lot. However, my mum remembers all of it. She says that upon entering the garbage station, she immediately got an eerie feeling of being watched. I remember that feeling too. I felt creeped out, even though I didn't know I was scared. I guess I could sense my mum's fear. Walking along that secluded garbage station, my mum suddenly stopped and told me this. She said my name. Hold on to the stroller as hard as you can and don't let go, no matter what. That's my most vivid memory that I have of this, and I don't think I'll ever forget those words. I'll at least never forget how they made me feel. It was as if my blood turned to ice. I just froze. My mum sounded stern, but even a toddler can sense when someone's scared shitless. My mum was definitely afraid of something. The rest is just a blur. I don't remember much, apart from the aforementioned, so I'll let the rest of the story be told from the perspective of my mother. This is the recollection of her experience, recalled to the best of my abilities, but in my own words. Not far from where we were standing, a truck was parked with a man seated in the front. Nothing unusual, a lot of truck drivers stopped to rest by the side of the road. But this man was staring. He wouldn't stop staring. He stared right at me, examining my body, with the determined gaze of a predator, glowing at the three of us in his sight. He truly seemed pleased by the fear he instilled in our faces. And his eyes, they were something else, almost as if they didn't belong to a human, but rather to a predator, to the savannah. I felt like prey, stuck in the claws of a lion. I just couldn't move. And that's when he smiled at me. I remember that dead smile, those cold, calculating eyes, and the way he licked his lips, almost as if to say, I could kill you if I wanted to. I believe it was at this point in time, into the strange encounter, when my mum told me to hold onto the stroller and to hold on tightly and not let go. My mum's a small woman, 160 centimetres, weighing only about 45 kilograms, so about 5 foot tall and 100 pounds. She could have easily been overpowered by the overweight man in the truck. My mum later admitted she was afraid he'd jump out of the truck and knock her out, possibly assaulting her or even kidnapping me or my younger sister. We bolted out of there. We didn't throw away much garbage that morning. We just turned around and walked home as fast as my mum can do with a stroller and a 4-year-old toddler by her side. We've never talked about what happened that day, until very recently. The incident has always lingered somewhere in the back of my mind as that weird thing that happened when I was a child, and every time I would pass that garbage station, I get a weird feeling in the pit of my stomach. As previously mentioned, this happened around 2006. Fast forward to 2008. The face of a 10-year-old little girl called Engla was printed across the front page of every newspaper in sight. She had been abducted, assaulted and murdered. The perpetrator was an overweight truck driver named Anders Eklund, now known as one of Sweden's most infamous killers. Anders Eklund was charged with the murder of Engla, along with the rape and murder of a woman named Pernilla. He is also suspected of abducting another little girl, who's still missing, making him a pedo, a serial rapist and a serial killer. My mum said that when she saw Englund's picture in the paper, especially when she saw those cold, familiar eyes, she knew he was a creepy man from the garbage station that early morning all those years ago. Thinking of how my mum, or my sister or me, or all of us could have been his victims, that sends chills up my spine. Anders, even though you are behind bars, let's never meet again. This isn't my story, but my mother's. When my sister and her oldest brother were younger, I'm not the exact age as my siblings, but my sister was around 10 and my eldest brother is 3 years younger than her. My mum was a single mother having to raise them both. She took public transport to work. There were a lot of shady characters she met. Her worst fear, being a 5'3" girl weighing 110 pounds, was that someone would start a confrontation with her or follow her home. One night, after picking my brother and sister from daycare, they headed home, and my mum was shocked to find the front door was unlocked, which was strange because she always locked her doors. But that particular morning, she had been running late and figured that she forgot. Heading into the house, my mum just couldn't shake the feeling that something was off, and she entered her room. And that's when she noticed her dresser drawer was open and her socks, pantyhose, and her underwear had been rife through. She asked my sister, who's blind, if she'd been digging around in her dresser looking for something. My sister told her that she wouldn't dare go into her room as it was off limits, and if she had, what could she possibly have wanted out of her dresser? Just to make sure, she asked my brother if he went into her room, and my brother scoffed at the accusation. My mother then began to search under the bed, in the bathroom, and then in her closet. When she opened the closet door, the bedroom light casted just enough light inside to see the shape of a man sitting down on the floor of her closet, a pair of pantyhose pulled over his face to hide any identifying facial features. Whilst the mental image of a man with pantyhose pulled over his head might sound hilarious, the sounds of a small woman desperately closing the door and trying to keep it shut as this man began to slam his fist against the door while she screamed at her children to hide and call the police is anything but hilarious. The only reason this man didn't overpower my mother right away was because she slid down to the floor and pushed her legs against a nearby dresser to steady herself. She could soon feel him slamming his full weight against the door, and she screamed out again for my brother and sister to hide and call the police. My brother was too afraid to leave my mother alone and stayed in the room while my sister headed down the hallway and managed to find her way to the landline and dialed 911. My mother tried her best to keep the door shut, but eventually the man had thrown his weight against the door so much, forcing my mum to slide forward and, by default, push the dresser further and further back until it was too far back to keep my mum wedged between it and the closet. The man finally pushed against the door hard enough that he managed to get the advantage as my mother felt the door being forced open. She cut her losses and stood up, quickly running towards my brother to grab him. The man fell onto the ground as the door swung open and quickly scrambled to his feet, pushing the two out of the way as he bolted to the front door. When the police arrived, he was long gone and they never found the man. The police searched the house to see how he got in and to see if he had an accomplice with him. The only thing they could deduce is that he got in because my mother forgot to lock the door. My mum figured the man was trying to rob them and hid in the closet when they heard him come home. But the police stated that the only thing that he had gone through was my mother's dresser drawer and the drawer in the kitchen, because in the closet he was hiding, they found one of my mother's kitchen knives. They wanted my mother to give a description, but she couldn't as she never clearly got a look at his face. After that happened, my mother ended up getting a Norwegian Elkhound puppy to train as a guard dog, and she, as far as she knows, never encountered the man from her closet again. But part of her always wondered if he knew where she lived, because he was one of the many faces that rode public transport with her. Update: we have a big dog and guns. We switched rooms with the girls and have only had one issue since then. The pandemic has made finding a new place very difficult, but we're trying. The kids sleep in their own room now and feel safe. We've got a detective involved, but nothing's come of it. It's not my landlord. He's very old and a sick man, and he's very frail and can't get around well. About a year ago, someone knocked on my bedroom window around 8 or so. I was just sitting there watching TV and I heard it. I called husband's name and he went to check. My daughter, 13, came out of the bathroom and said she thinks that she might have heard someone knock on the bathroom window. No one was very scared by this because our neighbourhood is very active and people are always outside, so we reasoned it as just some odd noise and let it go. About an hour later, while everyone's going to bed, my daughter let out the most horrific scream I've ever heard. My husband and I run into the living room and she flings herself into my arms and faints. When she comes to, she tells us that someone banged on a window, and when she looked over, she saw a man staring at her. Of course we call the police, and my husband starts searching our property, and the house next to ours has been empty for years, and calls the cops, who find nothing. The next day, we add extra locks, I nail the curtains down so they can't move, and we try to move on. About 2 weeks later, the person comes back, just tapping, and since then, it's been pretty regular. Tapping, knocking, pretending to be a cat. I saw him on our porch. My 8-year-old saw him peeping through the window on the front door. We've called the police and we've stayed up all night waiting. We have hidden, trying to catch this person outside. Nothing works. No one can catch him. My kids either sleep in the living room or our bedroom. We don't go out after dark. We don't stay home alone. The cops patrol and we have a detective investigating, but he's never caught. He came back last night at 2 a.m, but the kid was too scared to get out of bed and wake us up. We're trying to move and I've ordered cameras. My landlord wouldn't let me get cameras until I had the detective call him. I'm scared to go to sleep because I don't want to miss a text message from my kid telling me that he's here and her having to be scared until she passes out. I remember this like it was yesterday, because for me it was. It was the 22nd of July 2011. I just got married to my beautiful wife at the beginning of the month and I was just 34 years old. Have you ever wrote your thoughts down knowing you were legally dead? Neither have I until now. Like I said, it was July 2011 and I'd only been married a couple of weeks. One day, while my wife took a nap, I decided to take a walk. Right across from my house, across the street, is nothing but woods. According to Google Earth, the woods go on for a while. I might have been walking for about 30 to 45 minutes when I heard a noise. I'm not the guy who believes in ghosts or Bigfoot, and I'm not worried about other people because I always have a knife or a gun on me. I'm just not easily scared. The noise I heard wasn't like a twig snapping, leaves crunching or rocks falling, it was more of a splash. So I followed the sound and it led me to a small clearing. I saw a creek, but the water wasn't clear like you normally see. Instead it was a light greenish colour. It had a glow of fog that rose from it. It was like nothing I'd ever seen before in person, only in horror sci-fi movies. As I was looking at the creek and all of its weird wonders, I heard the splash again, and I followed the sound of my eyes and saw a downed tree. I saw parts of a person's left hand. I immediately ran over and stopped on my knees to help this guy. What I saw next still sticks with me to this day. As the guy raised his head in what I thought was an attempt to take a breath, he cut his eyes at me. Half wasted in the water, a smile formed on his face. Just as fast as I saw him, he was gone. Just disappeared into thin air. Gone. No trace of him at all. Then, in what I'm guessing was about an hour, I woke up. I know what you're thinking, it was all just a dream. But just wait. I was still in the same spot I fell asleep in the same spot this guy was in. I jump up, still feeling a bit dazed, and headed home. A million things were running through my mind, knowing my wife was not going to believe what had just happened to me. I just knew that I was going to be in trouble. I finally make it home and try to open the door, but my keys wouldn't work. Okay, this is weird, I thought. Suddenly, a guy opens the door and asks, "Can I help you?" Keep in mind, I've never seen this guy before. I ask him who he was, and why he was in my house, and where is my wife. Looking confused, he answered, "Son, we've lived in this house for 8 years. We moved in 2011. Even more confused, I asked, "What do you mean? It is 2011. My wife and I just bought this house earlier this month." About this time, a woman walked up to him, I can only assume it was his wife, and whispered something into his ear. About the same time, a cop was pulling into the driveway. I'm guessing that's what she was telling him, that she had called the police. They took my wallet, knife and gun and placed it on the hood of a squad car. The police questioned me and the other guy separately, comparing our stories in just as much as confusion as we had. The other guy gave the police all of the proper paperwork to prove his side and was relieved to go back inside of the house. All the attention was then turned back to me. I told them I wasn't crazy, to just look at my wallet. I told them to look at my ID and to look at the serial number on my gun, that neither would lie. They opened my wallet and laid everything out. There was nothing but old newspaper clippings and nothing in particular. No ID was there. The serial number on my gun came back clean. It wasn't stolen. But there was also no name of the owner either. Frustrated, I told them, "Look, it's been a long day. Can you just drive me to where my father-in-law's house is and I'll clear this up?" The police officers looked at each other, then back at me and said, "Sure." 15 minutes later, we pulled into my father-in-law's driveway. A smile came across my face and I breathed a sigh of relief. Like a brick was lifted off my chest. Everything was as I explained to the officers, and soon everything was going to be okay. One of the officers knocked on my father-in-law's door to talk to him as the other officer and I waited outside. A few minutes later, the officer and my father-in-law walked outside to join us. My father-in-law looked at me with tears in his eyes. He said, "Sir, this officer told me everything that's going on. I can't imagine what you're going through. I don't know how to tell you this, but I don't know you. I did have a daughter, but she died in a car accident 4 years ago. She had never been married and didn't have any children. I don't know how you know these things about me or what kind of sick game this is, but you need to leave. My heart sank. What in the world is going on, I thought. The officers apologised, thanked him for his time, and then we left. I asked where he was going, to which they replied, to the station to figure this out. I begged them for one last try, for them to please call my dad. If anyone could make sense of this, it was going to be my dad. I gave the officer my dad's information, his name, his number, the whole nine yards. They pulled over, called him, and told him everything. You could hear my dad yelling. He definitely wasn't happy, and he too thought this was nothing but a sick joke. He screamed, I have no idea who this guy is or how he knows me. The only son I ever had, my ex-wife miscarried over 30 years ago. I suffer with that loss daily, and what you're doing to me is wrong, sick and twisted. There were a few choice words he screamed as well before he hung up on the officer. So I sit here in this mental hospital or asylum, whatever you want to call it, as nothing more than just John Doe. I'm not writing this thinking anyone will believe me, because no one else has. I'm writing this in hopes that the right person will read this and know who I am. This story was taken from Mortis Media subreddit. I'm not claiming this story to be true, but I just thought it was an interesting story, so I thought I'd put it in here.